Welcome to Civil Defense Radio, where we bring you information about all things civil defense. I'm your host, Preston Schlankofer. One of the things about civil defense is preparedness. That's a very important topic, and we couldn't have any better guests on this show that talk about preparedness than the Provident Preppers, Jonathan and Kylene Jones. Hello, guys. How you doing?
Things are good. Thank you.
That was a very kind introduction. We are so happy to be here with you, Preston.
Well, it's always a pleasure to have you guys on the show. It's fun. I always learn so much from you. Not only do I keep track of most of your YouTube videos, but having you guys on the show, it just reinforces everything that I've learned from you before. So,
thank you.
It's my pleasure to have you guys here, and I hope you guys keep coming back.
Oh, we love to be here. Thank you for inviting us.
Yes, my pleasure. Hey, you know, you guys are hardcore. What we're going to talk about today is we're going to talk about your 90-day challenge, which has ended, and you have put your thoughts and experiences into a lessons learned, so to speak. But also, you guys just started another challenge, back-to-back challenges. You guys, you're so hardcore. You got to be the special forces of the preparedness world. I'm telling you, you guys are awesome. So,
well, that's what we try to be, is continually making progress and continually trying to help others. You know, if there's a way that we can help or motivate them or inspire them, that's our goal.
I don't know. I think we're insane, but you know, we wear it proudly.
There's a little bit of truth in that, so.
So before we go back to the future, can we go forward to the future and give us just a rundown of why you're doing this second challenge of grid down cooking, and then we'll talk about the topic of the week.
Okay.
Are you taking that, John? I will take this. Okay,
yeah.
So first of all, it's interesting as we get the comments and feedback from people. Sometimes they're a little bit harsh because we don't do a complete grid down, change our lives for 30 days or 90 days, right? But we live in a real world. And this is a phase where we are trying to develop our skills. And when there's too much confusion and you're trying to learn too many things at once, it's just not possible. So we select one area of focus and focus on that and move on. So this 30-day no cooking challenge, it is grid down in the respect that we are using absolutely zero electricity to cook any of our food. So no toaster, no microwave, no stove, no slow cooker, no rice cooker, nothing that would require electricity. But we still have lights on. Our refrigerator still works. So it's not a complete grid down. But as far as it comes to cooking, it is. So for 30 days, including our Thanksgiving dinner, everything is cooked without electricity.
Wow.
So it's a very fun challenge. And this first week has been a little bit hard.
I'm sure.
The adjustment period is rough.
I look forward to talking to you guys about this at another time and finding out your lessons learned and being able to share with our audience. That'll be great. But let's go back to the first challenge, this 90-day challenge. That was an interesting thing that you guys did, and you had some very interesting moments during that. I know from watching your videos, and your kids learned a lot as well as you guys, and some of your neighbors got involved as well. So can you give us some insight into what that was all about and some of the great things that you learned?
So for the 90-day challenge, one of the things that we teach people is that they need to have at least 90 days worth of the food that they eat every day, just the shelf-stable, normal foods, in addition to a longer-term survival food supply that just has the basic. So this is what we're teaching people, and we needed to find out if we could really live for 90 days on just the foods that we had stored. And it was very interesting to us because the end result was, absolutely, we can do this. We're missing a few things, right? I totally missed my chocolate, and there were a few little intense moments there, but we made it. We could have actually gone longer when Jonathan said, hey, well, let's extend the challenge. I'm like, No. We won't be going there.
Great idea.
Yeah, I'm sure you did. But it was interesting because when Jonathan did his calculations after it was over, we saved over $700 in the 3 months just on spontaneous purchases and going out to eat that we didn't do, right? All those little things really add up. That did take into consideration replenishing everything. So after everything's replenished, we still saved $700. I thought that was really interesting.
That's a big chunk of change for sure.
But as we went through the challenge, we learned a lot of different things. One was that we wasted less. Not that we ever wasted a lot before, but suddenly food became very precious. And we had lots of peaches on our trees, and they were small. And normally, I wouldn't have taken the time and the effort to go ahead and can them and use them. But because food was so precious, suddenly we weren't wasting anything. And we were eating things out of our garden that normally we probably would have just grown and let go. But it was very interesting to discover that about ourselves and the life that we really lead has a lot of excess. We were so much healthier because all of our food was very basic. From the garden, from basics from our food storage, there were very little preservatives. All of the junk food disappeared within the first couple of weeks.
Mm.
And we didn't have a lot of dairy. Our cheese did hold out till the end of the challenge. But we lived a whole different lifestyle. And it was healthier. John and I both lost weight. The girls wouldn't disclose how much weight they gained or lost. And Ben stayed exactly the same. But that was a very interesting realization for us that our diet is not as healthy as what we think it is.
That's interesting.
The other thing that it enabled us to do is actually go through our food storage and discover what foods we weren't going to eat and throw away foods that were too old. You can eat a lot of foods that are past date, but some foods just get too old. We had some flour that we opened up when we ran out of our normal flour supply. And it was, what, about 10 years old, John? No, it was 20.
Yes.
It was 1999, right?
Oh, yes, that's right.
It was 1999, so it was closer to 20 years old. And you know, you have to open that up and you have to let it air out. It was in a Mylar bag and it gets kind of this metallic taste and smell to it.
Oh, really?
But if you let it air out for a couple of days, that both the taste and the smell leave. But the flour was kind of changed in its texture. And while I did use it a few times, once the challenge was over, we just fed it to the chickens because it taught me that I need to make sure I keep a fresh supply, especially on something like flour that doesn't store as well. The wheat will store at least 30 years or more and stay good as long as it's packaged correctly. And there's not a problem with that. But things like flour just aren't so good.
Yeah, I noticed in one of the comments below your video, you answered one of the people who made a comment there, and you answered with this information about the flour and the wheat. And I hadn't thought about that before. So that was a good learning experience there.
Yeah, I love interacting with our viewers. I learn so much from their comments. It's incredible to get a feel for the people that we have out there that are living in different countries and far away from us, and to be able to connect. We talk about the civil defense movement or the emergency preparedness or whatever we label that. There are so many good people that are trying so hard to be ready for the challenges that lie ahead of us. And it's actually very comforting to me to know that there are so many others out there.
Yes, you're right. There's probably hundreds of thousands of us out there that prepare for some kind of emergency. And it's unfortunate that the media has given us a bad name. But that's what civil defense was all about, being prepared. And so I see our roots in the old civil defense groups and, you know, preparing the nation for a catastrophic atomic bomb and that type of situation. So it's, you know, it was a hardier time where people were more self-sufficient anyways back in the 40s and 50s.
Right.
So we're just trying to get back to some of our roots, that's all.
That's exactly right. And I think we live in an age when, you know, there are challenges in the world, but I don't think there are many people alive now who have faced serious, really, really serious challenges like the world wars and the Great Depression and some of those really difficult times. And so we tend to forget that those things have happened and that they will happen again. I think sometimes we think we're smarter now and these things won't happen, but that is simply not true. The risks are out there. If you look at the risks, they are very real.
Well, all you got to do is look at the threats tab of my website at civildefenseradio.com and you'll see those threats. There's many, many of them. I've had people tell me, oh, we don't have to worry about this or that. Well, actually, we do, because what you're not taking into consideration is the military aspect to these, like cyber. People see it as something from a criminal element doing ransoms and things like that, but it's a nation state military operation that can shut down our grid. And Ted Koppel wrote about that pretty well in his book, Lights Out. So
he did.
It's just being educated to the threats, and there are many. And our show has highlighted many of them, and we've got some more to come. There are a lot of things out there, and we should be prepared because our country has lasted a lot longer than many people predicted it would. And, you know, how much longer we have, who knows?
Well, hopefully we have a good long time, but it will require us to step up and take some steps because there will be challenges, and there are people out there that want to bring us down.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Can't let them.
Yeah. Well, the Chinese are one that are very sneaky about the operations that they do against us. And there was a book written by a general, I can't think of his name right now, but the book is called Stealth War. And he highlights how the Chinese have taken advantage of us for the last 30 years. And it's very eye-opening. But we're here to talk about your challenge.
Yeah. We can get back to that.
So one of the things that I learned that just really stood out to me in the challenge was the importance of growing some of your own food. Because could we survive off of just what we have stored? Absolutely, we could have. But it made such a huge difference to have some of the fresh fruit and vegetables from our garden to add to that diet. So as we're looking at our preparations, planting fruit trees or nut trees, different perennials. Perennials are plants that grow back over and over again, like grapevines and berry bushes. Those made such an incredible difference because if you're able to put a berry syrup or just berries on top of pancakes or waffles that you've made solely from your food storage, it makes all the difference in the world, both in the nutritional value and in the emotional satisfaction that you're getting from eating. So as we plan, if you have a yard, take a little bit of time and plant something that produces some kind of food for you to eat, because it is really important. The other thing that was highly valuable were our chickens. Fresh eggs were just such a blessing to us because not only do you use them in baking, but we found that we were eating at least one meal a day that had eggs in it.
Mm.
And sauteed vegetables with eggs was a whole new way to eat nutritious food that totally satisfied without using a lot of our stored foods.
Well, fresh eggs are much better than the freeze-dried.
Oh, the freeze-dried.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the store-bought.
Don't compare. We don't compare.
But, you know, we do the best we can with what we've got.
Yes, we do. What did you learn, John? What was your biggest takeaway?
Well, I think, again, we talked about the importance of testing our plan. We can plan and plan and plan, but until we actually test that plan, we really don't know how we're going to do and how well our planning has worked. So that was probably the big thing for me. And we've made some adjustments to our plan.
More chocolate chips. A lot more chocolate chips.
The problem is we can't keep them.
Because I
but that's
them
okay.
All.
That's
we'll just have to buy more and more, John.
Anyway, and then I second what Kylene said about the garden. The garden was amazing. And had we done this in the middle of winter, yeah, we would have been okay. But the garden made it so much more rich and abundant. We had so many good foods that are tasty, but are also extremely nutritious. And we took better care of our garden this year. I think because of this challenge, we really made an effort to get everything we could out of it. And so to the extent that people can do that, that's a good thing. And we recognize that not everybody has the ideal circumstance. But again, we do the best with what we have. And as Kylene said, if you can add a fruit tree or some bushes, berry bushes or whatever, those things make a big difference.
A ground cover of strawberries, everbearing, is so easy to accomplish. Strawberries grow like crazy, right? And it can keep your weeds out, doesn't take much room, and yet picking a little bowl full of strawberries in the mornings, that's huge. That's great nutrition and just deliciousness. So you can do things in such small spaces. There's a place in California, I think it's a 10th acre farm, Is that what they call it? But you can Google, it's 10th Acre Farm, I'm pretty sure. Google it and see the amount of food that they produce off of this little tiny space. So it's not about having a big place. It's just about using that space wisely.
Right. And we were able to share.
Well, you can do hydroponics too. And some of that can be done inside in the wintertime. There's a lot of information out there about that.
Yeah, it's true.
Hydroponics is a great way to grow some vegetables and herbs. It can be done inside as long as you have some good sunlight.
Yeah.
Right.
Absolutely, it can. And there's all kinds of different methods. Some of them are more time and space intensive than others. Find whatever works best for you, but do something, because it really will make the difference. And we look at civil defense and being more sustainable and having the ability to be hardy through all of these challenges that are in our future, and growing your own food can really help that happen, because it makes you less dependent on others.
That makes sense. Yes. It makes you happier when you have a sense of accomplishment by being able to pull things from your garden as well.
Oh, great sense of satisfaction as you sit down to dinner and you realize that you've produced everything that's on that table. It is amazing.
Right. And we were able to share with our neighbors, and that was also very satisfying. Just the friendship, we were sharing a lot of the things out of our garden with others, and other people were sharing with us. And it comes back to community, which we believe so strongly in, that if we can prepare our community, we're prepared for everything. And if we learn to share and we build those relationships, great things happen.
So our kids became very ingenious. Right? They realized that they didn't have what they wanted, and they took the initiative to go and get it. So our 13-year-old son, suddenly we no longer had fresh milk. So he made an arrangement with one of our neighbors to go milk his cow once a week in exchange for fresh fruits and vegetables from our garden. We did not initiate this. We did not help him like set it up or anything. He just came and said, this is what I've set up and this is how I'm going to accomplish it. And it was wonderful to watch them get more and more creative. The girls did a little bit more begging than they did actually working for the food that they wanted. But they babysat for their sister-in-law and in return for this giant bag of chocolate chips. And it was just interesting to watch how they realized that their life had changed. There was a new set of rules, and they discovered how to work to their greatest good within those new rules. And we had so many kind people who wanted to help us out. And we had to be really careful, because in a real situation, everybody's going to be struggling. We won't struggle at the same level, though.
Right, that's true.
It never happens that way. And so we have things to give, and they have things to give, and we can just create some wonderful exchanges. And one day, one of our friends showed up with a couple bags of chocolate chips, and she said she wanted to barter them for some kale. Who does that? Who wants kale instead of chocolate chips? And so there was a kindness and generosity in her recognizing the need that we had, but she'd also never tried kale. So it worked well for us, because we had an abundant kale. But community and being willing to sacrifice some of what you have for the good of somebody else makes all the difference in our ability to thrive as a community. As we build those relationships today, not just wait until something happens, but work on building the relationships and sharing and looking out for each other now, when bad things happen, those relationships are in place, and we have the ability and the desire to help each other out, which takes us all to a better place.
Yeah, that makes sense. So what did you learn in this challenge that other people can benefit from as far as what you guys went through and the storage that you've had? What kind of things did you find probably isn't a good idea to store besides your flour? Store too long, be more attentive to rotating and things like that. What kind of things did you find that probably need closer attention?
Well, one of the things that we found was some tuna that we had, and we used to eat a little bit of tuna, and we don't eat much anymore. So we found this case of tuna that was a little on the older side, and we decided that was cat food, because we ran out of cat food. About 3/4 of the way through, our cat food was gone. So we made it most of the way, but so we used the tuna as cat food. And I know that's probably not the best cat food, but for a week or a little more, that's what they got. And they were pretty happy. And generally, there are things that we had in our storage that we just decided we don't use. And that was good for us to realize that. get that stuff out of there and make space for things that we do use. Some of the canned fruit, we don't go through it because they like the home bottled stuff. And so we're gradually eating those things up or disposing of them and making room for the things that we need. Mama, what else?
And that was a really good point, because there are things that are getting old because we bought them, but we don't use them. The whole family is dynamic. It changes continually, right? And so we need to make sure that we change our food storage along with that. The cans of fruit, we'll open them up and take them out to the chickens a couple at a time. We're pretty good about not wasting. Better now than we were before, but it creates a false sense of security when you have this amount of food that you think is going to take care of you, but in reality, you're going to be miserable eating that. And so we want to make sure that the foods that we have reflect our current diet. I am very grateful that I didn't have to open up instant freeze-dried meals for the 90 days. I think that would have really made me sick. A few is fine, right? A couple times a week, that's great. But my diet doesn't consist of those foods on a regular basis. And we need to make sure that the foods we store are the foods that we eat.
And that's a very good point, because those freeze-dried foods, they are different and they don't quite measure up to your current food needs and tastes. So it's something that has to be worked into your diet on a casual basis. It's not something that you really want to rush into and have that be your main staple.
Yeah. One other thing that I learned, because I was cooking so much from scratch, I used more of the ingredients that I wouldn't have anticipated. For instance, spices, things like I ran out of Worcestershire sauce. And, you know, I don't use very much of that at a time, but in some of the recipes, it makes a huge difference in the taste of the end product.
Mm.
And so some of the basic spices, that's a little bit challenging because spices don't have a super long shelf life. But I would buy more of the spices and go ahead and just be willing to waste some of them in order to make sure that I have them, because the basic meals that I make, they require spices to make them taste good.
Yeah.
Right. And there's only a handful of them that I really need, but I need those and I need a lot of those. I think dry mustard is one that we had run out of. Well, I thought we ran out of it because there was one more bottle of it downstairs in the storage room, but it wasn't where it belonged. And so when I went down, I thought I was out, and then I found it later. So that's another take home. Make sure everything is organized so that you know where to find it when you need it.
I got to have Tabasco. I don't use it on everything like some people, but there are certain dishes that I have to have it on. So, you know, you got to have that those specialty items that you really want to have and make life bearable. So you got to have extra of that, and things like that, I think is important for people to ensure that they have those in their supplies when they're thinking about preparing.
Because we're talking about real people with real needs, and just because something happens doesn't mean you're not going to like Tabasco anymore. It doesn't mean that John's not going to really want those jalapenos on his eggs, right? Or that I'm going to need my chocolate chips. It kind of intensifies it, and when you know you can't have it, you want it even more. And if you have those simple pleasures in life, then it does this, it's emotionally calming and allows you the ability to handle the tougher things when these basic simple things are covered.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. Comfort food is comfort food for a reason, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. So are you looking at making any alterations to your written plan that you have for food storage or anything like that based on your...
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. So you're going to have a revision coming up.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we've kind of identified the things that need to be tweaked either up or down. And as Kylene said, this is a dynamic thing and, you know, it doesn't have to be changed all the time, but, you know, periodically you have to look and go, okay, we're not using as much of this. We would like more of this. So it's kind of a continual process of just tweaking things a little bit here and there. And that's what we will be implementing as a result of our challenge.
And for our food storage, it can be very dynamic with the number of people that we need to feed. During the challenge, we started out with 2 adults and 3 children. And by the end, we had 4 adults and 7 children. Am I doing that math right? Anyway, we had a whole lot more people that we were feeding on a regular basis. And we would expect that to happen during hard times. You're going to have family or friends that are going to come and want to stay with you or need to. And, you know, as Christians, that's exactly what we do. We try and do the best that we can to help reach out and take care of the people that are in need. So we ended up going through a whole lot more food storage than what we thought we would have because of those additional numbers that came to stay with us.
Yeah. Well, this has been great. Unfortunately, our time is up and we're going to have to leave. So just real quick, do you have any last comments that you want to tell everybody so that they can be aware and how to find your videos?
Yes, we have a lot of information that's available at theprovidentprepper.org and on our YouTube channel, The Provident Prepper. One of the things I wanted to say in closing is sometimes this becomes overwhelming and people think about it and they think it's so big that I just can't do this. And I worry about that sometimes when we teach and when we speak, people just walk away overwhelmed. But I encourage everyone to break it down into small pieces. We have action plans on our website to help do that. Just break it down and make small steps. When we look at the whole elephant, it's just too much. When we can break it down into small pieces, then it becomes manageable. And that's my encouragement. Just break things down into small pieces, take small, steady steps. And that's what gets us there.
And that's why we're doing it. We did a 90-day challenge and a 30-day no electric cooking challenge, because we eat it in small pieces, right, John?
That's right.
You guys are awesome.
We recognize at some point in time, we may have a grit down and we may have to deal with all this at once. But when we break it down into pieces and tackle it a little bit at a time, it becomes more manageable. And so that's my encouragement.
All right. Well, thanks for being on the show. And civil defense equals resiliency equals survival. The top-down governmental approach to solve our community resiliency problem has failed us. We need a community-based grassroots approach to solve this problem. To be resilient, it takes preparation, organization, and training to meet the needs of whatever situation we may find ourselves in. Civil defense helps reduce panic in a disaster, and this is why we strongly recommend establishing a community-based civil defense organization in your city or county in partnership with your local emergency manager and community leaders. Let's start a conversation with a guide found at the top of the page of our resources page at civildefenseradio.com. Be sure to check out our regular postings on Facebook at Civil Defense Radio and on Twitter at civil_def_radio, where we post information on the many threats we see to our safety and security as a nation. We wish to thank our guests, the Provident Preppers, Jonathan Kyleen Jones, again, and to thank you, our friends and listeners, who are with us every week. I really appreciate you guys being with us, and please be safe, be informed, be prepared, and may God bless you and keep doing something.